Our scripture this morning is the verse that follows the first verse in this series, which was in October. And the first verse of this series was taken from Hebrews 13, verse 15, and we were to give praise with our lips. It was called a sacrifice of praise. And since then, we have gone through a few more sacrifices. This morning, we're coming to the fifth and the last. From Hebrews 13, 16. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with sacrifices, God is well pleased. I bet you a nickel that if I asked you, do you want to please God? You would say, yes. I'll bet you a nickel I could go out on the streets of almost any city, and as long as somebody out there believed in God and they weren't an atheist, I could ask them the same question and they would go, yes, I want to please God. Well, I'm not so certain that people really understand what pleasing God entails. And so this morning, we're going to take this verse and we're going to talk about this verse. You see, what Christ has done in the new covenant is that the old covenant is done away with. The writer of Hebrews makes this very clear. And you may remember that the Ten Commandments were written on two stones. And Jesus, when he summarized the greatest law, he summarized them with two laws. The first, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. That's the first tablet of the Ten Commandments. The second tablet of the Ten Commandments is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we live in a culture and a time when lots of people are going back to the Old Testament and the Ten Commandments, and they're shackling themselves with the burden of the law, which, in terms of the New Testament, the law had two purposes. First, to condemn you. That was the first purpose. The second purpose was to lead you to Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the Old Testament law. Now, the writer of the Hebrews is coming here, and this is the fifth of the sacrifices. And if you look at it, it is human-directed. Do good and to share. Do good and to share. So the first thing I want you to do is examine, what is your ambition? Is your ambition really to please God? Is that your ambition? Paul says in 2 Corinthians, wherefore also we are ambitious, whether at home or away from home, to be well-pleasing to him. Is being well-pleasing to God your ambition? There is a young man in Luke who he had an ambition. And his ambition was to have eternal life. Now, that's not the same as being well-pleasing to God. It's a different ambition. But this young man came up to Jesus, and he had a question. Good teacher, what shall I do that I might inherit life? That's a reasonable question. And Jesus answers it with a question. Why do you call me good? No one is good but God. Do you understand what Jesus is saying? He's saying, if you think I'm good, therefore you believe that I am God. Because no one is good but God. So you are asking the wrong question. How do I get eternal life? That's the wrong question. The right question has to do with the good that you asked about. But Jesus goes on and says, you know the commandments. And he reiterates the bottom five, 6 through 10. And the young man says, all these I have kept from my youth. Wow, what a statement. Whew. You haven't coveted from your youth? We don't forget the other four. Just think about coveting. What a statement this young man makes. And Jesus then ignores that statement. He ignores it. Jesus is amazing. If you look through the New Testament, he's an amazing teacher. He doesn't answer every question. Matter of fact, he answers very, very few. And Jesus then says to him, well, you lack one thing. You're just missing one thing. You got everything else. Everything else is good, but one thing you lack. This is what you lack. Whatever you have, sell it and give to the poor. That's the only thing you lack for eternal life. What does the young man do? He leaves. He goes away. Why? Because he had great possessions. So where's this young man's value? What does he love? What does he serve? What's his ambition? What is your ambition? The second question that needs to be asked, have you counted the cost? Are you willing to pay the price? We say, oh, salvation is free. Oh, it is. It is. God freely invites you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Christ paid the cross. But when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a cost. Are you prepared to pay for it? You see, this is what Jesus says. Great multitudes went with him. People loved Jesus, right? They loved him. They followed him everywhere. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He had such wonderful words. And then he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Are you willing to pay that price? That's the price. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and you are willing to hate your own life, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your siblings, and your children, do you hate them? That's the price. That's what Jesus says. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. This continues. Jesus doesn't stop there. He wants you to consider the cost. What is the cost? For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he is enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation is not able to finish? All who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against king, does not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to meet him against him who has 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Are you prepared to pay the price? Jesus goes on. And he tells you something about the cost again, and this is from a different perspective. The perspective is how other people look at you. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name for the Son of Man's sake. How many of you are willing to witness to your coworkers at the possible extent of losing your job? How many of you are willing to witness to all your neighbors at the possible price of your neighbors hating you and making your life miserable? Jesus told his disciples, the world is going to hate you. Why? Because it hated me. This is the cost. Are you willing to pay the cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ? You cannot offer the sacrifice, doing good and sharing, unless you are willing to pay that price. You can't do it. If you want to be well-pleasing to God, you must have the ambition to be pleasing to Him, and you must be willing to pay that price. Now, having asked these two questions, what is your ambition and have you considered the cost? What does this sacrifice look like? How do we know that we're involved in doing this sacrifice? Well, the Old Testament has a sacrifice that tells us something about what the writer of the Hebrews is saying. And this sacrifice is called a libation. That's a big word. All it means is drink offering. Okay? That's all it means. And Paul says that he himself has been poured out as a drink offering. Paul says, I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith. Are you being poured out as a sacrifice, as a drink offering, on the service of the rest of the people in this congregation? What does it mean to be poured out? Well, I have a glass of water here. Hey, we're pouring it out. Ah, we don't have to just pour it down there. We can pour it here. You see, my life is like that water. That water is necessary for me to live, for that flower to live, for the grass to grow, for the corn to grow. Your life being poured out is necessary for the body of Christ here to grow. Paul continues, and he says this in the New Testament. I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He didn't retire. How many ministers do you know who serve X number of years and they retire and go fishing? No, you don't retire from serving the church. You don't. You are to be poured out. What does this mean? Well, ultimately, it comes down to those two things that Jesus said. Do you love God? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Do you? Let me ask you a question. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 that you are to consider everybody else in this church more important than you. Do you? You're to esteem others as more important than you. A few years ago, the Jefferson Airplane had a song. And it went something like this. Don't you need somebody to love? Won't you love somebody to love? Don't you need somebody to love? As a Christian, you need to love other people. You must. The world wants to be loved. We all want to be loved. We all want to be loved. You know, you remember Tevye and his wife. Do you love me? After 25 years doing your laundry, etc. I guess I love you. Okay? Yes, we all want to be loved. But Jesus Christ calls you to love others at the expense of your own life. Jesus said, didn't he not? The world loves those who love you back. Your challenge is to love your enemies. Bless them who curse you. That's your challenge. Why? Because you are to be ministers of God. You are to model the Lord and Christ who washed the disciples' feet. And he said, when he was all done, you call me Master and Lord. And yes, that's exactly who I am. Now, if I wash your feet, guess what you're supposed to do? Wash one another's feet. You understand now that this is a sacrifice. That's exactly what the writer to the Hebrews says. This is a sacrifice. Sacrifices are painful. They're not easy. And oftentimes, if you do what God calls you to do because you offer up the sacrifice, you'll find yourself in situations you thought, what am I doing here? God has called you. We've gone through five sacrifices. And just in case you care to understand the relationship between the Old and the New Testament, the book of Exodus begins with five sacrifices. The New Testament is the new covenant, and God has fulfilled the old covenant. The old covenant is a shadow of the new. And we must understand that God has called us to be his representatives, the church. Now, I was going to do this, but if each one of us was a communion cup full of water, and I took a communion service, and I took all of those 30-some little glasses, filled them with water, and I poured them all into this glass would not be full. You and I are individual communion cups. We have our own little spheres. We can't do everything, but you can do whatever it is you are to do. God has called you to offer up this sacrifice. This sacrifice, and notice it begins with, do not forget. Do not forget. Why does it say do not forget? Because we're so prone to forget. We get involved with things of this life. It's called mundane things. Or, in the New Testament, sometimes it's called profane things. We get so involved in this world. And Jesus told that parable, didn't he not, of the soils? And the seed goes out, and one of the soils is the soils where the weeds come up and strangle the plant. You know what the weeds are? The cares of this world. That's what they are. The cares of this world. We've considered five sacrifices. And I would implore you, meditate upon what is your ambition. What really is your ambition? Are you prepared to pay the cost? Are you prepared? It may cost your life. It may. Are you prepared to pay that cost? And the third, examine your life within this group. There are people in this group that you find difficult. Do you love them? Are you pouring out your life in them, for them? Do we model the person of Christ in this body? Is that what we do?
We have to start here. We can't go into Sumas or Whatcom County unless we get it right here. We must get it right here first. You are to be poured out.
When Paul says, I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, do you know where he was? He was in prison. That's where he was. He was in prison. This morning as you leave, consider the three questions. What is my ambition? Am I prepared to pay the cost? Am I being poured out as a sacrifice on the service to this body? Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you that you have called us to do this service, that you have called us to love one another as Christ did love us. Father, as we consider this, we need to remember that your servant Moses, your servant Paul, were willing to exchange their place in heaven so that somebody else could go there. We know, Father, that this is a very high calling that you call us to do. We know that it's not natural. We know that we can only do it in your power. But we praise you and thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit. For it is the Holy Spirit who draws us to yourself and molds us into the image of your Son. It is your Spirit that is able to have the one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit result in being of one mind. And we look forward to that which you will accomplish in us and through us to the glory of Christ. Amen.